Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Definitely challenging words. We'll talk about them on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned, because here we go. Hello there. Welcome to the Friday edition of the program. My name is Gary Zimek. So grateful to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you'll be able to stick around as well. The first thing I wanted to mention, I got an email last night from a listener who was concerned that my show didn't air as of a certain time. Here, the problem, and first of all, I really appreciate the concern. I really do. This happens to me in the past. I've had some technical issues, and whenever the show doesn't air, I always get a lot of emails asking, am I okay? And I am really grateful for that. I mean, that's very kind of you. But the problem with the way we do it on Blog Talk Radio is I load the shows up, and I specify a certain time that they should be available. That doesn't always happen. So generally speaking, the shows will be available around 8 p.m. Eastern time every night. I don't stick to a specific time because we do the show as a podcast, and most people download it whenever they can get to it. But for some reason, the show was late yesterday, and I apologize for that, but I just want you to know that it is something that's beyond my control. It does happen sometimes. But I did look, as of this morning, the program from last night is available. I just don't know about the delay. But thank you for your concern. I really appreciate it. On today's program, we're going to look at the Mass readings for Sunday of the 31st week in Ordinary Time. These are challenging readings because the Lord talks about this new commandment, loving your neighbor as he has loved us. And what's really great, and you know, I don't plan it this way, but we do this segment on the hidden power of kindness every Friday. Tonight's topic, the great commandment, love of God and the love of neighbor. It's incredible, but that's the gospel today. So, what can I tell you? The Lord has some great things in mind when he puts these shows together. He really does. But I'm grateful to be here with you. I've got a new beverage du jour today. I'm kind of excited about that. And we've got a lot of material to cover, so I hope you're ready to get started. Hope you're comfortable. Hope you're relaxed. And hope you have had a good week. Today is Friday. And of course, generally speaking, the world celebrates Friday as the end of the work week. As Christians, we should be mindful of the fact that Christ died on Friday. This is the day that Christ gave his life for all of us. So if nothing else, make it a point to be grateful, to offer up a prayer or two to the Lord, thanking him for making it possible that we could live with him forever in heaven, and also for expressing to us what love is really about. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us. Any questions at all, if you have comments about the program, if you would like to invite me to your parish as a speaker, you can either visit my website, followingthetruth.com, or you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And without further ado, why don't we get started? Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful for the opportunity to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Please help us to continue to remain on the road which will lead to eternal life in heaven. We're very thankful for the blessings you've given to us, and especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Help us to always be obedient to his commands, so that in doing so, we know that we are serving you and expressing our love for you, Father. We ask you to be with those who are sick today, those who might be anxious, those who might be lonely, those who are struggling financially or battling addiction, those who are suffering from religious persecution, as well as those who are dealing with doubt or despair. Father, we present to you our own personal needs as well, especially those things which sometimes get in the way and become a distraction in our lives. We also ask you to watch over and protect all of our priests, our religious, our deacons. And we ask you to increase vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. I give you this show today, Father, and as always, I ask you to speak through me, to use my voice and my lips and my words to proclaim your message. And please open our minds and our hearts to be open and receptive to the message that you have for us on the program today. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and we ask for her help as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I'm excited about this. I mentioned I have a new beverage du jour. I don't know if I've ever had this on the air before. So here we go. I want you to listen to something. Here, you ready? I don't know if you could hear that. That wasn't as exciting as I planned, but here we go. Okay. That's delicious. You're never going to get this. This is a bottle of red cream soda. Did you ever hear of red cream soda before? My family and I were in the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area, and one of my guilty pleasures that I always indulge in when I travel is I love different kinds of soda, especially ones that have real sugar in it. So we were able to find a bottle of Kutztown red cream soda. I mean, this is good stuff. This is a humongous bottle, though. This is 24 ounces. I'm just going to drink a little bit now. Maybe have a little bit with my dinner. But it's really good stuff. Red cream soda. And I've got others, so we're going to have others as we go throughout the week. Pretty exciting, isn't it? You know, it's funny. I kid around about the beverage du jour. But whenever I meet people who listen to the program, that's one of the first things they mention. And then they'll get to the theology. The first thing is like, hey, Gary, I really enjoy your beverages. And, you know, I'm a big coffee fanatic, too. But my supply of Mystic Monk coffee is getting a little low. So I've got to stock up. But I would say this. If you are a coffee fan, please check out the great coffee available at Mystic Monk Coffee. You can find out more information at my website, followingthetruth.com. They have got some awesome seasonal blends. Now, right now they have their Thanksgiving blend, but in a few short weeks, they'll have their Christmas blend, and they usually have something, a flavor called Jingle Bell Java, which is one of my favorites. It's so hard to describe, but it is the delicious, delicious blend of coffee. Mystic Monk Coffee, you can find it exclusively at followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get to these readings right now, because we're doing the Sunday readings as we do on every Friday. I want to make sure we have time for the segment on the hidden power of kindness. Strong theme today. This is, I think, one of the most hardest aspects of Christianity, loving one another. It gets challenging. It really gets challenging, especially when somebody doesn't make it easy for us. We can't ever lose sight of the fact of is that when we love our neighbor, that's how we express our love for God. You know, I might not like that. I might wish that there was an easier way. But really, the Lord has the right to tell us how we can love him. And this is what he tells us, that we must learn to love our neighbor. So let's talk about these readings. First reading for Sunday of the 34th week in Ordinary Time is from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. Moses spoke to the people, saying, Fear the Lord your God, and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments, which I enjoin on you, and thus have long life. Hear then, Israel, and be careful to observe them, that you may grow and prosper the more in keeping with the promise of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today. We've all heard this. We've heard this command before. And I think too many times we become desensitized and we almost let it go in one ear and out the other. But it's really something that we should try to focus on. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Is the Lord truly your God alone? Or do you have some false gods? You might not call them such, but do you have some false gods, such as the God of comfort, the God of wealth, the God of recognition? A lot of times we like to do things so that we get recognized. The God of any number of things, your favorite sports team, the God of your favorite television show. If anything gets in the way of your relationship with the Lord, then you really can't say that He and He alone is your God. And we do this all the time without thinking. And I don't like to point fingers, but what I like to do is make you think. And I really want you to think about this. Is there anything in your life that gets in the way of your prayer life, reading scripture, doing good deeds for others? Is there something that gets in the way? Now, if so, this is a good time to think about getting rid of it and praying for the grace to be able to do so. And Moses goes on to say, therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, again, are you doing that? I know that I don't always do that, and I've got to work on that. We are a few weeks away from the season of Advent. This is one of the great things that you can do during the season of Advent. Advent doesn't have that same spirit of penance that Lent does, but Advent's a time of preparation. It's a time of getting ready to welcome the Lord. You want to, at the end of Advent, be closer to the Lord than you were at the beginning. I mean, that should be our goal every Advent. And by the way, I do plan to do an Advent retreat on this program. Stay tuned for the details. I don't have the details yet. It's going to be something that I'm going to try to keep relatively simple. I don't want to make it too complicated, but I want to make sure that I help you to grow closer to the Lord during the Advent season. So that's going to be coming up soon. Are you really loving the Lord with all you got? Are there times when you might just be sleepwalking? This is a great time of year to start thinking about that. Psalm 18 is the responsorial psalm. I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. O Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock of refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Praised be the Lord, I exclaim, and I am safe from my enemies. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Extolled be God, my Savior, you who gave great victories to your king and showed kindness to your anointed. I love you, Lord, my strength. And obviously the question that arises, or that should arise from this verse, is how do you show that love? It's easy for me to say, Lord, I love you, you're great, you're number one in my life, but do my words and do my actions show that? Words are one thing. Words are nice. Words are good. But actions, as they say, speak louder than words. Am I living out my love for the Lord? Now remember, the Pharisees, these are individuals who had the best of intentions, but they got so caught up in the external practices of their faith that they didn't live it. And there was nothing on the inside. It was just a matter of following rules. And we all need rules. Certainly our church has rules, absolutely. But we want to be following these rules out of love for God. The second reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews 7, verses 23 through 28. Brothers and sisters, the Levitical priests were many because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests. But the word of the oath, which is taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The letter to the Hebrews talks a lot about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate high priest. What does a priest do? A priest makes a sacrifice to God. And what did Jesus do? He gave his life for us in order to make reparation for the sins committed by mankind, by all of us. We're all responsible for this. So because of the sacrifice offered by Christ to his Father, you and I are now able to live forever in heaven. This is a great thing. This is a great blessing that we have been given by the Lord. And it really is a sign of his love. I mean, this is something that we can overlook, we can forget about, we can ignore, but it's not something that we should ignore, because this is how much the Lord loves us. And today in the gospel, we will hear from the Lord Jesus advice, or not advice, a command for how we can love him in return. And why don't we just get into that, because all this ties in nicely together. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34 is our gospel today. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he, and to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. Now you see that link between the gospel and the first reading, and that's chosen for a reason. That first reading, as well as the psalm, they are chosen to match up with the gospel. Now the gospels, during ordinary time, proceed sequentially. We are proceeding through Mark's gospel, and the church gives us a first reading and a psalm that ties directly to the gospel. And essentially, the message is this: if we are to say that we love the Lord, then the way we do that, the primary way we do that, is by loving our neighbor, by doing nice things for people, by praying for their well-being. Even those people that we don't like, yep, even those people that we don't like. And that's where the challenge comes in. That's where Christianity can be very, very challenging and difficult. And many people can't do that, or refuse to do that. We can all do it, but many people refuse to love those that they don't like. And that's something that we need to get over. And that's one of the reasons why every Friday on the program, I look at this wonderful book called Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovacek. Now, let's just talk about that now. This book was originally written in 1961. It was actually 1962. And it is out of print. There is an abridged version of the book that is still in print. And the abridged version is called The Hidden Power of Kindness. I highly recommend it. And it's been a great... This is one of the most popular features that we've done on the show. And the way I do this is I go through the book, and I've gone through it a couple times on the air, because I get something more out of it each time I read it. And I know many of the listeners to this program do as well. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope you realize the importance of learning to love one another. We all understand that we need to pray. We all understand that as Catholics, we need to go to Mass on Sunday. We all can understand that the Eucharist is beneficial to us. But so many of us struggle with the idea of loving our neighbor, of being kind to one another, and we need some help. And that's why I think this is such a powerful feature of the program. So with that in mind, let's open this book up. Again, the book is called Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovacek, who is a phenomenal writer. He writes in a really direct way, and he just has an incredibly powerful message. The Great Commandment. Scripture and charity. The Old and New Testaments and reason declare that the whole law is summed up in the great commandment of love. Love of God and the love of neighbor. Isn't that great how this works out? And really, this is not something I planned. I didn't plan to tie the gospel and this segment together, but it just works out perfectly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, presently an expert in the law came forward to sound him out. Rabbi, he said, what must I do to obtain a place in eternal life? Well, he replied, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole strength, and with your whole mind. And besides, love your neighbor as yourself. Your answer is correct. He said to him, act accordingly, and you will have life. That is from Luke 10, verses 25 to 29, and also has a reference to Deuteronomy 6, 5, which is our first reading today. And in the New Testament, the Master declared that in this twofold precept of the love of God and of the love of neighbor, The Master declared that in this twofold precept of the love of God and of the love of neighbor are contained all the law and the prophets. This is the great and first commandment, but a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hinge the whole law and the prophets. That's Matthew 22, verses 39 and 40. And again, I mean, it's amazing. That's Matthew's version of Mark's gospel today, or for Sunday. St. Paul declares the same when, after having enumerated the principal precepts of the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, he adds that the fullness of the law is love. Let there be no unpaid debt except the debt of mutual love, because he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the complete fulfillment of the law. Let's say Paul said that in his letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. St. Paul also says in Galatians 5:14, why the whole law is fulfilled by the observance of this one precept, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Thus, the love of God and the love of neighbor is at one and the same time both the summary and the fulfillment of the law. Now, Christian perfection cannot be anything else but the perfect and complete fulfillment of the law, for the law is the will of God, and there can be nothing more perfect than the will of God. Love of God, love of a neighbor. That's the law. That is what we need to be doing as Christians. Let's see. St. Paul describes the excellence of love, its primacy over freely given graces, and over the other theological virtues of faith and hope. He shows that it embodies and possesses all virtues in the highest degree, so much so that love includes all those virtues. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is and is not envious. Love does not brag. It is not conceited. It is not ill-mannered. It is not self-seeking. It is not irritable. It takes no note of injury. It is not glad when injustice triumphs. It is glad when the truth prevails. Always it is ready to make allowances, always to trust, always to hope, always to be patient. Love will never end. So we now have these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And that's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. St. Paul teaches not only that love is the queen and the soul of all the virtues, but that it will make man perfect by imparting to him all the virtues. Filled with the Spirit of Christ, St. Paul begged his followers to practice charity because it is the bond of perfection. God's love for you has united him with you. God's love in you unites you with your fellow beings. Thus, love is all-embracing oneness. It is perfection. St. Paul wrote a passage concerning charity, the beauty of which cannot be matched by anything that the world's literature has ever proclaimed on the subject. Yet by nature and temperament, he was far from being distinguished by gentleness. He was originally of a fanatical, violent, and stern disposition. But under the action of grace, Paul's soul gradually became ever more serene and gentle. In this, he is an encouraging example for those who have received from nature a difficult temperament. He became all things to all men, a servant to mankind, always full of sympathy and goodwill. Let's talk about that for a minute. Paul's soul gradually became more serene and gentle. He's an encouraging example of those who have received from nature a difficult temperament. I'll tell you, I think at times I can have a difficult temperament. I can be impatient. I can be a little headstrong. I can be stubborn. And there have been times in my life when I just wished that I had a different kind of temperament. But rather than just wish for things magically to change, I think what I've learned, and I would recommend to you if you suffer from any of the same things that I suffer from, is to ask the Lord for the grace to help you to become more patient, to become more loving, to become more kind, and many other things. To ask for the grace and then cooperate with the grace that he gives you. What you can expect is if you are somebody who tends to be impatient, I wouldn't expect to just all of a sudden one day wake up and be patient. What I would expect is somebody to come into your life who will really try your patience. And this is the way we grow in virtue, by fighting against these vices, these bad habits that hold us back. So by using the grace that the Lord gives you, you can be able to become more patient in dealing with people in your life that can be difficult. You know, so be thankful for that person who drives you crazy, because he or she might be your ticket to heaven. In Paul's epistles, severity and a manly sternness alternate with meekness, gentleness, and sympathy. He warns, chastises, and then consoles. His attack is full of energy and force, but soon he makes a tender appeal to the soul, gives proof of his interest in other people's welfare or his anxiety to spare their feelings and his fear of giving pain. Deeds are the best and most natural proofs of the charity of a man of action. The whole world is acquainted with Paul's journeys, his preaching, his scourgings and imprisonment, his endurance of cold and hunger and shipwreck, and his labors for the salvation of souls. If the peculiar form of charity that we call zeal for souls was incarnate in a man, Paul was that man. Paul was definitely someone who was zealous for saving souls. And Paul was willing to go through some very unpleasant experiences in order that he would be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with as many people as possible and bring souls to Christ. That's love. St. John, the apostle of divine love, gives the fundamental reason for this doctrine. He says that God is love. Love is, so to speak, what characterizes God. If we wish to be like him, to be perfect like our Heavenly Father, we must love him as he loves us. Now, I think I'm going to stop here. We only have about a minute left in the program. We'll continue this next week. We'll continue this look at love. Why don't you make it a point to, and especially as you hear these readings again at Sunday Mass, ask the Lord, Lord, where am I failing? Where do I need to get better? Who am I not loving? And then begin immediately, you know, even if the person is not around you at that moment, you can pray for the person. It's a great way to express your love. And you can really work with the Lord's help on becoming more loving, because that is how, it's one of the great ways that you show your love for the Lord. It's a tough message. It's not an easy thing to do. But let's try to do it together. Let's try to love as the Lord loved us. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. If you need anything, my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. I've got to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. God willing, we'll see you Monday. And remember, to love one another. God bless.